it all began with God. And he began it all with light. The first expression of his creative power was light. And ever since then, light became the primary expression of his nature. John says in his first epistle, "This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Light has the peculiar capacity to both attract and repel. If you are a rat, it does one thing. If you are a moth, it does something else entirely. In the burning bush, for instance, Moses was attracted to its colorful effulgence, and yet when he approached, he hid his face, because for humans, it does both attract and repel. Light signifies the presence of God, the glory cloud of light, the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day was the demonstration of the presence of God with his people. And yet the light of his presence was a transferable light. When Moses spent time with God on the mountain, his face shone with light so that the people knew that Moses had been in the presence of God. So much so that even with the transferred light, the people were both attracted and repelled by it. He said, "Oh, cover your face, Moses. We cannot stand the light of God even in its reflected form." But the light of God led the people of God. When the glory cloud lifted, the camp was broken and Israel began to move. And where the fire went, the people went. And where the fire settled, the people settled. And the light of God marked the sustaining power of God for his people. For Moses told God, "If you don't go with us, do not send us up from here." Apart from the light of God, you see, the people of God are lost, are defeated, and are scattered. Moses longs for the light of God. He implores God to show him his glory, but the full radiance of the light of the glory of God is too much for him to handle. God will not show his full effulgence to Moses. Moses would not survive it. But God, in condescending light, allows Moses a glimpse of his light. Just as you must not look directly at a total eclipse of the sun without damage to the eyes, but must instead look through filters or through projected images, so God filters his radiance, which is an act of mercy on his part. Light, then, as an emanation of the nature of God, is ambivalent. We cannot live without the light of God. We find it strangely attractive, wonderfully instructive, guiding us through this darkened world. And yet we find the light of God unsettling, overwhelming, too much to bear. In Jesus Christ, God has given us his light, the light of God in a form in which it might be received. The light of God is the presence of God. The glory light of God resided in the tabernacle in the wilderness and later in the temple in the Old Testament. Not that God was limited to the tabernacle in time and space. He certainly was not. But that God was immediately and redemptively present with his people. He led them and guided them and blessed them with his light. And this Jesus has dwelt with us. Literally, the text in John 1 says he tabernacled with us, leading us, guiding us, and blessing us with the light of God. For the John passage says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And it says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." And yet the light of God in Jesus has the same effect as in the Old Covenant. It both attracts and repels. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The light of Christ is indispensable then to his children. Light is essential for life. We know this, of course, biologically. Without light, there is no life, no way for plants to grow, No way for animals to be nourished. No way for CO2 to be absorbed. No way for oxygen to be generated. Spiritually, it's even more significant. John said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus himself said, for as the Father has life in himself, so the Son also has life in himself. He said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. There is no abundant life without the light of Jesus Christ. Light also exposes. That's the one of the things that makes the light of Christ ambivalent to us human beings. This is what John says in the third chapter of his gospel. Actually, this is what Jesus says in John. He says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. And people love darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. The world, that is, the principles and actors which seek to govern the world without God, is a dark place by nature. But the light of Christ exposes the darkness of the world, and the Spirit of the light of Christ convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And even for us believers, we each still have within us dark recesses of our hearts, which are not fully yielded to the will of God. And the light of Christ penetrates those dark corners, those locked closets, revealing to us aspects of our nature that we would prefer remain hidden. But the light of Christ exposes our sinful natures. And light guides us. It's difficult to function in this world without light. Ever since we moved here near the coast with the regulations of artificial light to protect the turtles and other wildlife, the roadways are darker than we're used to. We have to be extra careful when we drive. That was even more significant in the week or so following hurricanes when the power was out. It was not unlike many parts of our previous state of West Virginia, where there is hardly any light pollution because there's hardly any light. That makes it wonderful for stargazing, but it's a challenge when you try to move about from one place to another. But human ingenuity has developed all kinds of light sources to help us navigate the darkness. Life no longer shuts down at sunset. We can literally burn the candle at both ends and work or play 24 hours a day if we wish. That's not healthy, of course, but it's all made possible by light. But the spiritual terrain is even more treacherous. Without true spiritual light, we are in danger. Not so much in running off the road into a ditch, but falling into an eternal abyss. Jesus said, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. Jesus is not talking about nighttime transportation, by the way. He's talking about spiritual concerns. He said, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The light of Christ guides us to spiritual safety, guides us to a destination of glory. Light also illumines. Not only does the light of Christ guide, its illumination pierces through the barriers of spiritual discernment. The light of Christ comes to us through his Spirit, and the Spirit bears witness about Christ. He illumines our minds and our hearts about Christ. He brings to remembrance all that Christ has taught us. The light of Christ thus guides us into all truth. He declares what is to come. He takes what is Christ's and declares it to us. Indeed, all that the Father has belongs to Christ. And the Spirit of Christ, which is the light of Christ in our hearts, takes the things of Christ and reveals them to us. The light of Christ by the Spirit of Christ illumines. But that light is also transferred. Just as the light of the glory of God shone in the face of Moses when Moses abided in his presence, so the light of Christ is transferred to his children who abide in him. Just as Jesus declared, I am the light of the world, so he also declared, you are the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He said in Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And so in this we come full circle. As we began to see in God his creative power expressed in the very beginning as light, so we find his act of creation in us, in his believers, as the new creation driven also by light. And as we saw the light of God to be the effulgence of the glory of God transferred to the face of Moses, so we find the light of Christ shining the glory of God, not just to our faces, but into our hearts. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Tonight, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, our Savior, we celebrate the light of God entering the world. The light of the glory of God, the light of the glory of God transferred into the hearts of his people. The light of the glory of God taken by his people into all of the world. And so our service will begin in a moment in darkness. And it will begin with one candle. We have lit in our Advent readings four candles, helping us to remember that the coming of Christ is all about hope and peace and love and joy. And we have saved one candle for tonight. It is the candle of Christ himself. And we will begin with that one candle which was just lit tonight. And it will be taken and it will be transferred to each and every one of you as the darkness begins to be expelled by the demonstration of the light of the glory of God dispersing throughout this sanctuary which represents the world until the world will be filled with the light of Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate this Christmas season, that Jesus Christ, in him was life and the life was the light of men, and it shall be dispersed throughout all of this world as we take the light of his kingdom to every place on this globe. And that's what will be represented in these moments. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, light is something that we simply take for granted. Those of us who live in Florida, light is all around us pretty much all of the time. But Father, we ought not to take it for granted, especially spiritually, because we recognize that the light of Christ is special, it's unique. It comes to us in a way that is very powerful and significant and life-transforming for us and for those with whom we share that light. And we pray that in these moments, this would be a demonstration to all of us of what takes place in the coming of Jesus Christ into this dark world and how we can participate in this season by taking the light of Christ throughout the year, throughout the world. We ask that you'll illustrate that for us in Jesus' name. Amen.